Welcome to Spiritual Warfare. My name is Teresa. I will be reading from the book Imagine Heaven by John Birks. Near-death experiences, God's promises, and the exhilarating future that awaits you. Skeptical doctors and the afterlife. No light, no shadows, no nothing, Vicky explained. Kenneth Ring, a professor at the University of Connecticut, was conducting a study on the near-death experiences of blind people. Both optic nerves were so severely damaged, Vicky had never visually seen anything during her 22 years of life. As Vicky explains, a lot of people ask me if I see black. No, I don't see black. I don't see anything at all. And in my dreams, I don't see any visual impressions. It's just taste, touch, sound, and smell. But no visual impressions of anything. That is until one fateful night at the age of 22. Vicky occasionally sang at a Seattle nightclub. Unable to catch a taxi after closing time, her only resort was to hitch a ride with two inebriated patrons in a van. Not surprisingly, they crashed. Vicky was hurled from the van and suffered a basal skull fracture and a broken back and neck. The next thing Vicky knew, she found herself above the scene of the accident, looking down at what she realized must be a crumbled up van. Having never seen anything as a blind person, Vicky recalls, it was hard to adjust to and seeing was scary at first. Then I liked it and it was okay. I had trouble relating things to one another, what I was seeing and perceiving versus what I had touched and known. Vicky doesn't remember the ambulance ride to Harborview Medical Center, but the next thing she recalls is that she left her body again and floated up near the ceiling from where she watched a male doctor and a woman working on a woman's body. I was quite tall and thin at that point, Vicky recalls, and I recognized at first that it was a body, but I didn't even know that it was mine initially. Then I perceived that I was up on the ceiling and I thought, well, that's kind of weird. What am I doing up here? I thought, well, this must be me. Am I dead? She could overhear the doctors as they discussed their fear that possible damage to her eardrum could lead to deafness in addition to her blindness. Vicky tried to tell them that she was fine, but the doctors didn't respond. Vicky recognized her hair, which was down to her waist, and her wedding band, which had orange blossoms engraved on it. And I thought, is this my body down there? Am I dead or what? They kept saying, we can't bring her back. We can't bring her back. And they were trying to frantically work on this thing that I discovered was my body. And I felt very detached from it and sort of, so what? And I was thinking, what are these people getting so upset about? Then I thought, I'm out of here. I can't get these people to listen to me. Oh, as soon as I thought that, I went up through the ceiling as if it were nothing. And it was wonderful to be out of there and be free, not worry about bumping into anything. And I knew where I was going. And I heard the sound of wind chimes. That was the most incredible sound that I can describe. Vicky experienced a sense of upward motion as she traveled through the ceilings of the hospital and up above the roof of the building itself. She had a brief panoramic view of the hospital roof below her, as well as the streets, the other buildings around the hospital, and the city lights. As Ring reports, she felt very exhilarated during the ascension and enjoyed tremendously the freedom of movement she was experiencing. Vicky noticed that she was fully herself and had a distinct form and a non-physical body, she said, was made of light. Then she found herself going up through a dark enclosure like a tube. She was being pulled up into this tube or tunnel head first. She had no fear as she found herself moving toward a pinpoint of life getting brighter and brighter. I'm going to stop there for a minute. This dark tube, I've been talking to God about this. It scares me. I don't know. I just really struggle with this. So this really helps me that she said that she had no fear moving through that dark tunnel head first. I do hear that a lot. Everybody goes through that dark tunnel. I don't know. I think about that a lot. I really think about that a lot. And I tell God I'm sorry for being scared. Sometimes I'm scared. Sometimes I'm not. Back to the book. As she reached the opening of the tube where the light was, she heard sublimely beautiful and exquisitely harmonious music that she had heard earlier. It transitioned into songs of praise to God. As she reached the opening of the tube, she rolled out to find herself lying on grass. Trees and flowers and a vast number of people surrounded her. She found herself in a place of tremendous light, and the light, Vicky says, was something you could feel as well as see. Even the people she saw were bright. Everybody there was made of light, and I was made of light. What the light conveyed was love. There was love everywhere. It was like love came from the grass, love came from the birds, love came from the trees. It was incredible. Really beautiful. I was overwhelmed by the experience because I couldn't really imagine what light was like. It's still a very emotional thing when I talk about this. Vicky goes on to explain that in another world, she welcomed by some acquaintances as ring notes. There are five of them. Debbie and Diane were Vicky's blind schoolmates, who had died years before at ages 11 and 6, respectively. In life, they had both been profoundly retarded as well as blind, but here they appeared bright and beautiful, healthy and vitally alive. They were no longer children, but as Vicky phrased it, in their prime. In addition, Vicky reports seeing two of her childhood caretakers, a couple named Mr. and Mrs. Zilt, both of whom had also previously died. Finally, there was Vicky's grandmother, who had essentially raised Vicky and who had died just 2 years before this incident. Vicky relates, I had feeling like I knew everything. This place was where I would find the answers to all my questions about life, about all the planets, and about God, and about everything. Ring notes, as these revelations are unfolding, Vicky notices that now next to her is a figure whose radiance is far greater than the illumination of any of the person she has so far encountered. Immediately, she recognizes this being as Jesus. I was real close to him, Vicky explains. He actually hugged me. He embraced me, and I was very close to him. I felt his beard and his hair. He actually enveloped me. That's the only word I can think of to describe it. He enveloped me with so much warmth and love, and his eyes were piercing eyes. It was like they permeated every part of me, but not in a mean way. It was like you couldn't lie about anything, and he just looked everywhere and he could see everything. Yet, I wanted to reveal everything to him. He communicated to her mind, isn't it wonderful? Everything is beautiful here and it fits together. And you'll find that. But you can't stay here now. It's not your time to be here yet. And you have to go back. Vicky reacted with extreme disappointment and protested, no, I want to stay with you. The being reassured her that she would come back. But for now, she has to go back and learn and teach more about loving and forgiving. But first, watch this, he said. And what Vicky then saw was everything from birth in a complete panoramic view of her life as she watched. The being gently commented to help her understand the significance of her actions and their repercussions. The last thing Vicky remembers once the life review had been completed are the words, "You have to leave now." She then experienced a sickening thud, like a roller coaster going backwards, and found herself back in her body, feeling heavy and full of pain. Wow. Seeing is believing. As a former skeptic, I would have had lots of counter arguments forming in my head about now. It all seems too good to be true, yet the testimonies of people like Vicky have convinced many skeptical doctors, professors, and researchers that life continues after death. Dutch cardiologist and researcher Dr. Pim van Lommel notes that Vicky's story and those of other blind people who have not experienced near-death experiences are prompting researchers to reconsider the relationship between unconsciousness and the brain. Vicky's reported observations could not have been the result of sensory perception or of a functioning visual cerebral cortex, says Van Lommel. Considering how many details of Vicky's stories are verifiable, Van Lommel notes her reported observations clearly were not imagined either. For instance, Kenneth Ring, who is not a Christian, says, "We ask Vicky a number of probing questions about exactly how Jesus looked to her and how she could be certain of his identity. She described a bearded man with shoulder-length hair, piercing eyes, wearing a robe with a sash, but barefooted, and she said brilliant light came out of him." Ring notes, on the other hand, Vicky, as a deeply religious person, even as a child, would certainly be familiar with descriptions of Jesus. On the other hand, she remains that, because of her blindness since birth, these descriptions never had formed any coherent pictorial image in her mind of Jesus. If we take her avowal not only to be sincere but truthful, the fact that her portrait of him accords so well with tradition is surely a puzzle worth pondering. Ring also points out several fascinating visual descriptions made by Vicky. First, during the life of review, Vicky saw a playback of her earthly life and her two friends, Debbie and Diane. She was later able to describe to the researchers how her childhood friends looked and even walked. One moved with great difficulty. There were observations looking back on her childhood friends that Vicky could not have seen at the time but claimed to see in the life review. The researchers confirmed the observations with the house mother who raised all three of the girls. Ring also points out that when asked to describe the color of a flower, all she can say is, "It was different brightness, different shades, but I don't know, because I don't know how to relate to color." He concludes the fact that she was unable to discriminate colors in that heavenly realm and was also unable to do in the physical world only adds plausibility to her account. Blind people claim to see, deaf people claim to hear, and in this new spiritual existence before passing through the tunnel, many claim to see and hear what's happening in our world. The types of things they say and report display corroborative evidence claims that can be checked out and verified. In Kenneth Ring's study published in 2008, he interviewed 21 blind people, 14 blind from birth, who reported a near-death experience. He subjected his research to peer review, and the reviewers tended to agree on the main conclusion of the researchers, that one, the near-death experience is the same for sighted persons and blind or vision impaired persons. Two, blind and visually impaired descriptions of the experience show visual or visual-like perceptions. And three, some of these reports have been validated by outside witnesses, So number four, there is preliminary evidence that the visual information can be corroborated.